Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Happy New Year and welcome to Tippy Talk, where the music is not working and the year is starting off exactly as it should be. But I'm going to give this one a try. There we go. Yay! Let's do it.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be.
Absolutely.
You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee.
All go running around and around and around, and now we're going to stop running around for a while, sit back and relax, and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk, is Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tippy Zone. This is our second broadcast for this year, but it's the first broadcast that I am broadcasting from the studio with my normal equipment. And I am so sorry, the last session was definitely technically challenged. Okay, that's a really nice way of putting it, technically challenged. And now I'm being politically correct, which usually I'm not. So I would say savor the moment, because political correctness is not my lexicon at all. And so officially we had our first broadcast on the second, but because of the technical difficulties that we had then, we will consider this the first official broadcast of 2017, and we're going to reinterview Linda Schwartz, because she has some important information that we totally missed. So that's coming up next week, and I'm really looking forward to that. And today I'm going to kind of put myself out on the limb and tell you the story of my trip to Oregon, specifically my retreat, which I went on the 29th, 30th, and 31st to I wouldn't say it was a retreat, because it was in a hotel. To me, a hotel is not a retreat, even though they called it a retreat. It's more like a gathering. And I would say it's a workshop, but it wasn't really a workshop. It was more like a meeting of the minds, where everybody spoke their mind. And we didn't hear much from the organizer himself, even though we did hear some amazing stuff from him and some not so amazing stuff. And here I am sitting about to broadcast, got noticed half an hour early that my guest wasn't going to show, so I decided I'm going to give you the details. And all of a sudden, maybe like 10 minutes ago, I got hit with such an overwhelming exhaustion. I can literally close my eyes and fall asleep right here on the chair. It was like I was getting slapped with tiredness. Because first it was not there, and then boom, it was there. And now that I'm here, I'm not quiet, energetic, but I'm not going to pass out on you. Don't worry. And so, yeah, that's the story of the moment. I'm going to be very transparent, tell you everything today. If you hate me for it, which some of you will, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. I love you anyway. And so let me start with the beginning. So in the beginning, I decided to go to a retreat in Oregon, specifically in Medford, Oregon, which if you guys don't know where it is, it's on the southern side of Oregon, not too far from the California border. And I went there because it happened to be really convenient in my traveling because my daughter moved to Oregon about 60 miles away from there. And since I was going to be in the neighborhood, and I had been curious about this book called Conversation with God, and I was there anyway, I thought maybe it was God telling me, check it out. So it wasn't because I love Neil so much or that I like his work that much, because I didn't even know his work that much before I went. And pretty much his work is a bunch of New Age philosophical twists and turns, and some are very deep and profound and meaningful, and some are very philosophically challenged. And so what I'm going to start with, before I forget, let me tell you why I was in Oregon. Because my daughter was having a baby, and she had a baby girl. And if you look at the pictures, which I'm going to post right after this broadcast, you will see pictures of my new baby, my family. Her name is Ellie Mae. And you will see pictures of Oregon. A lot of the pictures that I took, I'm going to show you. And the snowstorm that I weathered, I actually literally drove through a snowstorm through the mountains on a very icy, very dangerous road with snow blizzard hitting me. It was kind of scary, but yet kind of like being in the twilight zone, surreal and scary at the same time. And I'll show you some pictures of that too. You're going to like it. Actually, you're going to love it. It was like being in a winter wonderland, except you really don't want to drive through it. You want to more like enjoy it from the inside or enjoy it from far away or take pictures. But driving on snow, sleet, ice, and rain, I mean, not that much fun. So I had to drive 10 miles an hour. Didn't want to go over the cliff, which seemed very, very steep. And so the first thing I'm going to do, because this is officially going to be our New Year's Day first episode of 2017, that is actually an episode, I'm going to quote you something from John Maxwell, whom I also like a lot, although I don't really know everything about his work, but I like the little nuggets that he gives. And this is what he quoted on the first day of the year. And I think you're going to like it, so listen up, because this is very profound. Everybody feels a little more positive on New Year's Day, a little more than any other day. We get to begin all over again. A lot of times, I needed a clean piece of paper, a clean slate, a fresh start, a new beginning. Realize one principle that will help you every day to make the most of it. The secret of your success is determined by your agenda. Do the right thing, you will be glad you did. All is well that begins well. So happy New Year's Day. And happy New Year's month. January is the first month of the year. The first is the first day of the year. And let's all begin really, really well. And so after I spent a few days with my new baby, my daughter, I drove over to Medford through the snow and the ice and the sleet and the mountains, like I told you. And I went to a meeting that for me was pretty much unknown. I really didn't know what to expect. The only thing I was kind of hoping for, since it was a New Year's retreat, I was kind of hoping he would give us a calendar for 2017, kind of as a goodwill token for all the money that we paid to be there. But nope, we didn't get that. But we did get a New Year's Eve amazingly wonderful dinner. That was really nice. And we got to declare our New Year's resolution in a microphone, which was also really nice. But I don't know if everybody did, because it was pretty much, if you want to, you do it. If you don't, you don't. Which definitely has its positives and definitely has its negatives. And so what I'm going to start with before I tell you about it, and I'm going to give you a lot of wisdom and a lot of things that were annoying. But what I'm going to do is, when I left, I wrote down some thoughts about what I liked and what I didn't like about this retreat. And I'm going to give you that first so that you know. Because when I first walked away, what I wrote down was I was very disappointed with the weekend retreat. That's what I first wrote down. But nothing is set in stone. And in the spirit of this retreat being a lot of double talk, or double speak, as George Orwell called it, right after that, I wrote down I should have listened more. So maybe if I would have listened more, it would not be as disappointing, and I would have gotten much more out of it. So here are my thoughts. The retreat was too much New Age for me. Too much New Age for me means that it's got a lot of double talk, and it's got a lot of enlightening things sprinkled in with a lot of unenlightened things. And double, and the New Age phenomena is really a double-edged sword for me. And there's things about it that are frightening. There are things about it that are enlightening. I guess that's also more like double talk. Or is it good or is it bad? Well, you know what? The scary thing is when you get a lot of good stuff and then they sprinkle in some horrific stuff, you kind of bite it. You kind of believe it. You kind of swallow it. For me, the whole idea of New Age started when my life was shattered. And it's very interesting, I have to tell you. I was reading now that a retreat, so-called retreat or seminar was over, I decided to actually take a look and read the book that Neil Donald Walsh wrote. And I actually did that on purpose. I didn't want to go there with him as a... having him in my mind as a celebrity, because then everything he would have said would have been, oh, he said it, it's a celebrity saying it, and I would have swallowed everything. I didn't want that. I wanted to be more objective. And so I decided to read the book after. And one of the things that he writes about here, which I found very personal, and that's why I'm going to read it to you. And he writes that this is how we kind of think. We race to believe certain things. Okay, so he asks the question, and I'm definitely not going to read the book for you. I'm just going to read one paragraph, and I definitely recommend the book. So book number one, called Conversation with God, An Uncommon Dialogue. Okay, so he talks to God. And the question that he asks here is, but I've been raised to believe that good and bad do exist, that right and wrong are opposite, and that some things are not okay, not all right, not acceptable in the sight of God. That's the way he put it. And the answer he says that he got is, everything is acceptable in the sight of God, for how can God not accept that which is? To reject a thing is to deny that it exists. To say that it is not okay is to say that it is not a part of me, and that is impossible. Yet hold to your beliefs and stay true to your values, for these are the values of your parents, of your parents' parents, and your friends, and of your society. They form the structure of your life, and to lose them would be to unravel the fabric of your experience. Still, examine them one by one, review them piece by piece, Do not dismantle the house, but look at each brick and replace those which appear broken, which no longer support the structure. Your ideas about right and wrong are just that, ideas. They are the thoughts which form the shape and create the substance of who you are. There would be only one reason to change any of these, only one purpose in making an alteration, if you're not happy with who you are. Only you can know if you're happy. Only you can say of your life, this is not my creation, son, in which I am well pleased. If your values serve you, hold them, argue for them, fight to defend them, yet seek to fight in a way which harms no one. Harm is not necessary ingredient in healing. Okay, so this is why this got to me. There's two things here. The one really important thing is that I sense that I've talked about, but it's nice to have a confirmation of this. Our values form the structure of our life. And if we lose our values, it's basically an unraveling of the fabric of your experience, because your values, what you've learned to be true, holds you together. But imagine if you wake up one day and all of a sudden, or maybe not even one day, maybe in a slow process, you realize and you come to the realization that everything that you know about the world, that all the values that you hold, that everything that people that you love, your family, your friends, your entire life, that everything that everybody holds to be true and everybody in your life holds to be true is all not true. What would that do to you? And I would say that would destroy you. And the reason it's so personal to me is that's exactly what happened to me. I was plugged out of a very sheltered little town in Jerusalem, and I was thrown into the cold, harsh reality of Brooklyn, New York, where the circumstances of my home life, my school life, my friends, my social life, and everything, all of a sudden, were different. And because of that difference, and because it wasn't a pleasant difference, even though the values were still the same that were, not the values, even the teachings were the same, the belief system was the same that I had ever since I was born, because I didn't know anything else, my personal circumstances were different, and the atmosphere became so hostile and so cruel that I was forced to go and look for something else. I was very young, okay? So this was when I was 12, 13, 14, and 15. When at 12, everything that you hold true and dear and love is shattered and gone, and all of a sudden you say, oh my God, what if it's not true? And then you say, oh my God, it's probably not true. And then you say, oh my God, it's not true. But if that's not true, then what is true, and who am I, and what the hell do I now do? Where do I go? Where do I go from a sheltered place where everybody loves me and I believe everything they tell me to a place where I don't know where to find love? I don't know what's true or what's not true. And now at 13, 14, 15, and 16, I have to find out all over again, relearn everything that I learned. And I don't know what it would do to anybody else, but to me, it meant that I had to start searching. I had to start to find the truth. Well, I didn't know it at the time, but it would have been my new truth, which still is relevant to my truth of what I found and what I accepted. And yes, a lot of the things that I accepted as my truth were based on what I learned when I was an infant or up to 12. And a lot of the truth that I found were the exact opposite of what I learned. Mostly they were the exact opposite, but some of the things that I learned, I guess kind of will stay with me forever, but not the same way. So it changed, manifested, changed differently. And so basically, what he's saying in conversation with God is that everything that you've learned, that your parents taught you,
that they learn from their parents and they learn from their parents, and the values that they send you may not be true. It may be true, but it may not be true. And so, yes, every generation has a certain amount of rebellions against the previous generation, because if it isn't an outright opposition, it's a rebellious that they want to improve on the previous generation, or it's a rebellious that they want to get rid of the previous generation's thoughts that don't agree with them. So some kind of rebellious is going to take place. Something is going to change. But I don't know too many people that have this drastic, quick change at such a young age, where you go from being sheltered and nurtured into a place where, honestly, nobody gives a shit. Or at least it felt that way. Because when I went on the street, I was called names for things that I couldn't change. I was beat up for just because I was born a certain way. I was ridiculed because I looked different. So no, I didn't find love on the streets. And yeah, my search for truth was just started. And I went through a lot of hills and valleys and ups and downs. And that's how I ended up in this place called Conversation with God, because it is another search for me. Basically, I was set into an ever-ending search. When I'm 80 or 90 or 100, I'm still going to be searching, even though I develop a new truth as I go along. And so I went to this so-called retreat. It was not a retreat. And when I walked away, I told you a little bit, but I'm going to tell you the thoughts of the things that I liked. I'm going to start with the things that I liked and the things that I didn't like. And then I'm going to tell you some of the really amazing wisdom that I heard, and some of the double talk, which is very confusing and debilitating, that we experience, and what it really was, because it wasn't a retreat. And I'm going to tell you what it was. But I'm not going to tell you everything tonight. That would be way too much information. And I know that you don't want to sit and listen to me for hours and hours and hours. So I'm going to tell you the first part of it. And if you're listening and you have a New Year's resolution, because this is all about a new year and a new beginning, then call 914-338-0686. You're listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein. And if you're listening live right now, which is January 9th, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, and in between times of 2 and 3 and 4, between Pacific and Eastern Time, then please call 914-338-0686. I want to hear your New Year's resolution. If you cannot call now and tell me your New Year's resolution, you are very welcome to contact me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com. And give me your New Year's resolution. I don't care if you're listening to this in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, as long as it's before the end of 2017. I want to hear your New Year's resolution. And I'm here to help you implement that resolution if that is what you want. Do you want to implement your resolution? Do you want to once and for all do it? Or do you want to forget about it by the time the 17th rolls around and not think about it again until the following year? And then maybe wake up one year and say, you know what? I'm not going to do a resolution. I'm not going to even bother, because you know what? I don't even do it. So that's up to you, but I want to hear it. So first thing was that it's a new age thoughts, not my big priority. I first learned of new age, I think I was probably 18 or 19. And I arrived in California, which I loved, being away from everything that made my life so miserable. The weather was gorgeous. And I ran into a man who wrote a book called Date with the Gods. And he told me that he was working with a woman who was a big, famous movie star. Her name was Shirley MacLaine. And he gave me his New Age thoughts, which at that time I found brilliant. But again, I was searching for the truth.
And then he took me to Shirley, who implemented her two cents into a new age thoughts. As if you remember, she ended up publishing the book Out on the Limb. Hey, that's funny because I'm on the limb today. And that was my introduction to the new age. New age confusion. That's what I would call it. Okay, so that's the first. Second thing I did not like, and I'm giving you the first what I didn't like, was that he said Hitler is in heaven. I think that is a really stupid remark. And I understand his explanation. Because what he's saying is that nothing happens that God doesn't approve of. And that there is no hell, that everything is heaven. And if everything is heaven, then Hitler is in heaven. And that whatever it is that Hitler did had to be done, because if it wouldn't have had to be done, God would have not allowed it to be done. And the truth is, I do believe that God is everything, everywhere, at all times. I do. I believe in the God that the Jews describe, that God is everywhere at all times. My first New Age experience was Out on the Limb and Date with the Gods. Not conversation with God, that's his word. The Date with the Gods was the first exposure that I had to New Age stuff. And his explanation of God, not this guy, Neil, the guy that I met that wrote A Date with the God, he said that God is the intelligence part, the intelligence energy of nature, the interatomic space that keeps the atom rotating. And since everything is made out of atoms, everything is made out of God. That concept of God, I understand, and I definitely can accept part of my value system. To me, that's God. It's not a man tortured or worshipped or anything like that. To me, that cannot be God. How can that be God if I believe that God is everywhere at all times? And also, in the book Conversation with God that I have just read, he also describes God as everything, everywhere, at all times. So if God is everything, then God is the good, is the bad, and is the in-between. God is everything. Hitler is in heaven? No, still can't buy into that. Then there's another statement that he made that I can't swallow. That's one pill I ain't going to swallow, and that is that there's no good or bad. So that there's no judgment call on anything that happens. It's not good or bad. It just is. I don't buy into that because it's the same thing like saying there's no right and wrong. Actually, that's what he did say. There is no hell, only heaven. That doesn't make any sense. If there's no hell, then there's no heaven. And therefore, everyone ends up in heaven. Idiotic conclusion as far as I'm concerned. How can everybody end up in heaven? But the truth of the matter is that my uncle, who decided one fine day when I brought home my friend who wrote Date with the Gods and he read his palm, he decided that he was going to study Kabbalah and read people's future because he wanted to make a lot of money. He was always broke. It worked for him. He learned how to do that. And he told me that heaven and hell are right here on earth. Heaven and hell are right now. It's our life. Our life can be either heaven or hell. And you know, that makes a lot of sense because our life is definitely hell when we suffer, which Neil in the conversation God says that it's our choice. And life is definitely hell when we enjoy our heaven, I mean, when we enjoy ourselves. So I definitely agree with that too. But the fact that you end up in heaven no matter what you do, no, that's not possible. And that's what he says. The only reality is your reality. Therefore, there is no reality in and of itself. To me, that sounds like double talk. And that's one of the things I didn't like about Neil at all, that he is a genius at double talk. There's not one sentence that he said, there's not one thought that he expressed, whether it was really profound or really mundane, that he didn't say at the end of it, well, and all of that could be not true. and maybe I'm wrong about everything. Everything was a double talk. And double talk is confusing, it's debilitating, and it's designed to seriously brainwash people. So I don't buy that double talk. I don't buy that we are God. We are not God. God is everything. We are plugged into God. That's true. But if God is everything, yeah, we're part of God. So if my finger is part of my finger is not my body. So it's like saying my finger is my body. I am God is like saying my finger is my body because I am not God. So that I don't believe. And I believe that God is everything. So therefore, this is what I wrote. Therefore, your conversation with God is really your conversation with yourself or with some other being that is not non-physical being. It's not really a conversation with a God. I didn't like the double talk, which I already covered, because this is what he did. He would say something and then he would say, this is true unless it's not true. And after every opinion, then he quickly pointed out that he could also be wrong about everything that he said. Double talk is not healthy. I can't put my finger on what it is that bothers me about it, but you really have to be stupid to buy into it. But he's very well crafted. He's an actor, so he presents it really well. He's been in the business of presenting. So I think he knows exactly what he's doing. And I think it's designed to confuse you. And that was the stuff that I wrote that I didn't like. I also wrote that I was very disappointed with the weekend, yet I still want to really form a group and study conversation with God because it's got a lot of profound things. And I don't think he's Satan or devil that's going to convince me. I think that there's good things that you can take out of everything. He was wrong about Israel. He has no clue what happened there, so he believes the media BS, and it's not true. Because he complained about settlements, and he said that the Oslo Accord took away land from the Palestinians, which never existed, so he's wrong about that too. But yeah, he's not perfect. And the fact that he was asked to speak out against Trump tells me that he probably supported Hillary, who I think is a crook. That doesn't say a lot of good things about him. And the last thing that I did not like about him is he doesn't smile. People that enjoy life, people that love what they're doing, generally do smile. This guy does not smile. And so here I am going to put myself out on the limb and tell you my own personal, very intimate writing. I'm certainly not perfect or better than some, and probably better than some, probably worse than others. I say I'm a writer, but I can't seem to finish and publish my books. I feel awful for all the time and money I wasted in Oregon with very little of it spent with what I originally came to. And that's a whole new topic that I am bleeding about and I don't want to talk about. And so I did make a New Year's resolution to finish all my 6 books and publish it before the end of this year. Okay, that's very personal for me. Maybe it's too much information for you. And that I am going to make a resolution to really be happy. Just be happy. I love that. Paula, my friend Paula said that once to me, and I fell in love with that saying. And so I'm going to continue because I have a lot to tell you about it. Like I said, I'm not going to have enough time to finish, but I am going to tell you the things that I liked about this weekend. I love Neil's personal integrity. And that showed up in a story that he told us about his publisher, and how his loyalty, he was willing to turn down $1.5 million because he was loyal to his publisher that stood by him when he was a nobody. And to me, I so respect loyalty because I don't see it a lot, but I yearn for it. And so I love that about him. I loved that there were some people there that I met that were amazing, that I will probably be in touch with for a long time. I love that. I love that he sat down and read the rules before we started. I'm going to read you some of those rules and tell me what you think. Because I love when things are clarified and there's no assumption. I love it. I loved his sidekick, which was a singer and that he kept calling Blondie. And her voice was amazingly incredible. I love that he has the same people working for him for a lot of years. That shows loyalty and that shows that he's a decent person to work with. I loved the dissertation that he gave us on what does it mean to be in an awakened state. Then what would happen if everyone was awake and aware of aware of the fact that we are all one. Then what kind of a world would we live in? I loved that. I love that he refused to talk out against Trump. And I know I'm sounding like I'm a Trump supporter, and I'm not exactly I don't exactly like Trump too much. But I certainly didn't cry when he got elected, because I would have cried if Hillary got elected, and so I can't support either one of them. But Hillary is much worse as far as I'm concerned. Okay, fine. Here you know. You've got my personal feelings on it. Didn't want to do that. I liked his opening statement that he said that I'm one with you. I'm no better or no worse than you are. And that really put a lot of people at ease. Like for me, I really went out of my way not to read the book, even though I had it with me before I went to this meeting, because I really wanted to read the book after. And I'm really glad that I did. And I like that he was right about me. And he said that, oh, so you're a work in progress, because I was telling him about me and something or other. And he goes, oh, so you're a work in progress. And I like that, because that was bullseye. He got it. It's exactly what it is. It's exactly what I am. So this was my thought after I was done. Truth is, nobody's perfect, and everybody has pluses and minuses, and nobody's going to agree or disagree with you. I don't know what it is with me, but when I see an injustice, so when I see somebody that's about to do something that I know is such a huge mistake, I bleed. I bleed inside, and I want to stop it. And I used to do everything in my power to stop it, but I found that you really don't and you can't do anything that you're not asked to help with. Then don't help. I think that's one of the things that he also covered. Like, if somebody doesn't ask you for help, bite your tongue, tie your hands to the post, don't help, because not only will it not be helpful, it's actually going to be resented. And that's not why you want to do it. It's not why you want to help. You want to help because you want to be helpful. You don't want to help because you're going to make it more difficult and more resentful. So, yeah. That's basically what I'm going to cover today. But I'm going to tell you one more thing. I'm going to tell you something that I loved about this meeting, so-called retreat, so-called meeting of some amazing people, is that before we started the weekend, he really clarified our expectations. And he gave us a few rules to follow, which was really nice, because every time you have expectations, you're wrong, right? So if you don't define your expectations, then you're going to be disappointed. So that was a really good thing. So what he said was that everything is confidential. Everything that happens in the room is confidential. So obviously, one of the things that I'm not going to tell you about is what personal stories that people talked about, because that is confidential, and I agreed for that confidentiality. I can just talk about the things that are in the book or the general things that I did not like, but not the personal stories. He said that the retreat, it's not about me, so it's not about him. And he said that we are going to be talking. And if we're not going to be talking, this is going to be a very silent day. In other words, that He's not going to be lecturing. I like that. Then he said for us to be open and not to be afraid of sharing. And then he talked about a search for the meaning of life. And then he talks about what it feels like to be fully aware and fully express, and the qualities of being aware. And then he said, you already know how to be forgiving, because being forgiven is really, really important, and realizing the truth and loving. And the side effect of loving is stepping into the fullness of who you are. That's the side effect. And when you step into the fullness of who you are, people around you also get touched. So he asked, why do we do it? So he said that we do it in order to change our life. But even though we do it in order to change our own life, it's other people around us that really get touched and healed. And to change their life. And so for me, it really helped me when he said, look for the positive in every situation. And I was dealing with a situation that I was made me cry and cry and cry. And so I wrote a sentence that I need to look for the positive in that situation. And then I wrote a whole bunch of things that could be positive in that situation. And then that amazingly beautiful singer sang the song, I Am That I Am, when I know that I is the glory of all that what I am, that I am, that I am, that I do, that I'm nothing that I'm not. Okay, kind of a little bit of double talk, but it was such a beautiful song that the double talk did not bother me at all because the song was just so beautiful. And then he touched on the idea of what is the difference between creation and reaction. He said that creation and reaction is really the opposite of each other. Do you live your life either reacting to events or creating events? And make the ultimate process rather than reactive process. Oh, make life a creative process rather than a reactive process. And how do you choose to be ahead of time? Many asked us to make a list of 10 things that are going to happen in your life for sure. Make a list of who you choose to be. That was a very profound and very strong beginning. I like that a lot. Because how could you go anywhere without knowing who you are, without defining who you are? Then he said another great quote, and that is, if you're doing something to make a living, get out of it. And let's see, another great quote that he said. This is all the introduction. I have come so that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I have come to the room to heal the room. The space, there is no other reason for me to be here. So basically, it's about need versus love. Is that clear? Not clear? Call me. Love to hear from you. And then he talks a little bit about his life, what he accomplished, what he didn't accomplish, and how he did it. And then you come to a stage, and I actually came to that state when I was 20, that there's more to life than this. But what? What is it? When I was 20 or 21, I think, and we came to the end of the journey of helping Shirley write the book, and she just finished writing the book. And here I was with a guy that I thought was in love with me, but I wasn't really in love with him. And everything seemed so perfect. But inside of me, I said, you know what? There's more to life than that. But I don't know what it is. And then we discussed the difference between beingness versus doingness. So beingness brings doingness. What are you being? What you are being is the soul's agenda. Okay? And the soul's agenda is really when you tap into the reality of what life is all about. Okay? So that was basically the introduction, except that we touched on the difference between a messenger and a teacher, because he said that he was not a teacher. He was more a messenger, which is someone that delivers a message, versus a teacher who knows something that we don't know. And a messenger just brings the message, and the best you could do is leave it the best you could. And then we talked a little bit about heaven and hell. And then he said he was going to embarrass us. And then I asked myself, did I do the best I could with my baby doll and with my situation? That's about it. That's about all I'm going to say today. And I'm going to give you the rest of what happened, which is a lot more profound. This was just the introduction. Start here. I'm going to start right here. I'm going to give it to you on the next session. And I'm going to finish with everything that you do helps someone else. Everything that you do helps someone else. So I certainly hope my experience here helps someone else. And love asks nothing in return. Love needs nothing in return. And one of the big premises is that love is everything. And the idea that we need nothing, the idea that we exist and we have everything we need and that we need nothing, and the illusion is that we might need things, that was basically one of the big premises of what he was talking about. So the question that we're going to start with next time is, how would my life change if the statement is true? Nobody needs my help. I don't need help from anybody at all. Nobody owes me anything, and I don't owe anybody anything at all. And nobody does anything they don't want to do. What if I don't owe anyone anything and no one owes me anything? Okay, that's it. Because when we know better, we do better. Okay, and that's about it. That's all we're going to hear today about my Oregon adventure. It was pretty amazing. The people I met were amazing. There was disappointments, but then again, when do you go to a place where there isn't? But there was a lot of pleasant surprises, one of them being a beautiful tiny little baby that you're going to see right down here below. And that's all I got to say today. Till we meet again, have a magical journey and let your talent be your potion, because magic is in the air.
I know your physical lunch, taking pictures of your coffee.
you don't need a man. You got a phone in your hand, and you can keep it silent. Flying high like a bird with your aviators, but your heart.